And Genesis 1, the first verse we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And in John 1, verse 3, "All things were made by him, and without him there was not anything made that was made." And in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And in verse 18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." And in Hebrews 1, 2 and 3, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." These and many other passages of Holy Writ are the basis of the instruction of the Catechism in Lord's Day 9. "What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel of providence, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and further, that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. For he is able to do it, being almighty, Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father." This, beloved, as you know, is the exposition of the Catechism of the first article of the Apostolic Confession. And remember that this article, and also this Lord's Day, does not speak of creation, but of God, and particularly of God the Father. Very often, in explaining this first article of the Apostolic Confession, the mistake is made that the exposition deals especially with creation. Now, creation, of course, is mentioned, but the mention of creation is only incidental. That is, creation occurs in this article only as a means, as a revelation of God. And more particularly, this article, and also this Lord's Day, speaks of God as Father. That must be emphasized. He is Father in Himself. Father of the Son in the divine essence. He is Father, according to this Lord's Day, of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is not the same as saying that He is the Father of the Son. It is true, the Lord Jesus Christ is also the Son. But when we speak of God being the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do not refer to the Father as the first person of the Holy Trinity, but to the triune God in relation to Christ in the human nature. In the third place, He is Father of creation. That too is emphasized. God is the Father of all the works of His hands, for He produced them. And having produced them, He loves them. In the fourth place, He is Father of His elect people. In Jesus Christ, and because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all this is presented very beautifully, and not merely as a piece of doctrine, of cold dogmatics, but as it should be, as a confession of our faith. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. That is what we are supposed to say, beloved, as a fruit of the preaching of the word in this morning hour. Try it. Say it in your own heart by the testimony of the Holy Spirit. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. That is indeed a very rich and beautiful confession, for the Catechism tells us in this ninth Lord's Day that confession, I believe in God the Father Almighty, implies that now I know that God cares for me, God the Almighty, cares for me as a father. That he so cares for me that even the evils, which according to the catechism may censure to me in this valley of tears, must work together for my salvation. And the reason is that I know he is almighty and therefore able, and that I know he is my father and therefore surely willing to give me all things necessary. I can and will and shall inote selbst bij het naderen van den dood volkomen uitkomst geven. He can and will and shall in all distress, even with the approach of death, give complete deliverance. Therefore, beloved, briefly I speak to you on the fatherhood of God as Father in Himself, as Father revealed, and as Father, the object of our faith. God is Father in Himself. That's evident from all Scripture. And fatherhood, beloved, the idea of fatherhood is not principally and in the first place that of love. It is true that a father loves his children, and that therefore there is a relation of love between the father and his offspring. And nevertheless, that is not the main idea of fatherhood, even among men. Love does not only exist between father and children, but also between man and wife. And the bond of love is not only on the part of the father, but also on the part of the children. So that is not and cannot possibly be the real essential idea of fatherhood. The idea of fatherhood is rather that of generation. A father is one that has the power to generate, to reproduce. That is the real idea of fatherhood. Also in the Bible. And to generate implies that one who is a father can reproduce himself, can produce a being that is like unto himself, and that stands before him as his image. That is also the idea of the fatherhood in God, that he produces, that he generates one who is like unto himself and stands outside of himself, although within the divine being, within the divine nature, he stands outside of himself in such a way that He looks at himself when he looks at his son, the degenerate. That is true is evident from all scripture. We have here in the first chapter of John that very idea. The son is the one that is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten of the Father. In fact, in the original, we read that the Son is the only begotten God in relation to the Father. The Father, therefore, generated the Son. And that is also evident from other parts of Scripture. So, for instance, we read in Psalm 2, verse 7, that the Father says to the Son, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. And in John 5, verse 26, we read that the Son is so begotten of the Father that he has life in himself. The Father gives unto the Son to have life in himself. Again, that is the same idea in the Epistle to the Hebrews, the verses which we read. There the Son is declared to be the express image of the Father, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. That probably could better be translated the express image of his substance. And upholding all things by the word of his power, and so on and so forth. But notice, the brightness of his glory is the Son in relation to the Father. The express image of his substance is the Son in relation to the Father. And so we have very often in the Bible that fatherhood in God consist in this, that he generates the Son. Now, of course, I know very well that that is a very difficult conception, but that's Scripture. And we must remember when we speak of the generation of the Son, we must remember in the first place that that generation takes place and not outside of God, but within the being of God. It's not as a human generation by the Father of a Son, so that the Father generates a Son that stands outside of him. The generation of the Son by the Father takes place within the divine being. That first of all. In the second place, we must also remember that that generation of the Son is an eternal act of God. From eternity to eternity, within the divine being, the Father generates the Son. It's not so that the Father was first alone, and that then he generated the Son. But it's so that the Son and the Father are co-eternal. It's only a relation between the Son and the Father that is expressed by the term generation. Eternally, therefore, the Father generates the Son, and the generation by the Father of the Son takes place in the Holy Spirit. So that within the divine essence, the essence that has all the virtues of God, the being that possesses the virtues of eternity, of infinity, of omnipotence, of omniscience, of wisdom, of power, of love and grace and beauty and glory, within the divine being, the Father eternally, from eternity to eternity, places before him his Son in the Spirit. And that Son, that we must remember in the third place, is the complete, the perfect image of the Father. That's never the case, of course, with any human son. We can never produce a child that is exactly like us. But the Son in God is to God the express image of his substance and the brightness of his glory. The Son is like the Father. And by the Holy Spirit he faces the Father. And the Father knows himself in the Son, through and in the Holy Spirit. Well, we'll come back to that yet in a different way presently. But now, that fatherhood of God, that God is Father, He revealed, first of all, in all the works of his hands. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That means, beloved, that God as Father, as the Father of the Son, revealed himself in creation. That first of all. What is it to create? To create, beloved, is of course an act of God. Exclusively an act of God. Cannot be anything else than an act of God. That God creates the world is not the same as saying that God is the cause of the world. By no means. A cloud in the sky is the cause of rain. A lightning may be the cause of a fire. That's the cause. But the fire and the lightning belong together in such a way that they cannot be separated. Without the effect, the cause does not exist as cause. And without the cause, there is no effect. Cause and effect belong in the sphere of creation, not outside of creation. Therefore, we must not say that to create means that God is the cause of the world. And nor must we say that to create means that God is the source of this world. That's not true either. Not the source. Light has its source in the sun. Light streams from the sun and is really, in a way, a part of the being of the sun. In that same way, we may never say that the world has its source in God. That isn't so. The world is not a part of God, a part of the being of God, and does not stream from God, does not emanate from God. No, no. God is not the source, and God is not the cause. God is the creator. What's that? As has been said, beloved, that to create is to make something out of nothing. Well, there's an element of truth in that. The element of truth is this, that before God created, there was absolutely nothing outside of God. We cannot conceive of that, of course. That's impossible. We cannot even conceive that. We cannot conceive of nothing. Stands to reason. But although we cannot conceive of it, we can say it nevertheless. It's well to say it. Before God worked in creation and to create, there was nothing. Nothing. Only God. There was no time. There was no space. There was no material. There was no form. There was no idea. Only God. Only the Eternal One, who is not in time. Only the Infinite One, There was not a space. Nothing was there outside of God. That is the truth in the so-called definition of creation. To create is to make something out of nothing. And that also, beloved, that same definition also distinguishes the creator from anything else, from the creature. We cannot prove, even from creation, that God exists. We don't have to. There's no proof of God. If we could prove that God exists, he would not be God. God is exactly beyond the limit of what we can prove. Don't ever think that you can prove God. If anyone says he can prove that God is not, he lies too. No one could prove that God is not. The atheist is a fool. The fool says in his heart there is no God. The atheist is simply a fool, also philosophically. So don't ever meet the atheist with an argument that you could prove that God is by creation or by anything in creation. That's not true. There's no proof for God. You must say to the atheist, I know I can't prove God, but I don't want to prove him. I don't want to prove that he is. If I could prove that he is, he would be like me. He's altogether different. The only other. Outside of all things. It's not a space. It's not a time. It's not in creation except by the word of his power. But, beloved, nevertheless, by the fact that there is a creation, God reveals that he is altogether different from us, that he is God. He reveals that. That's revelation. That's not proof. That's revelation. He reveals that God is, and that God is God. He reveals, beloved, by the very fact that a distinction from any creature, he calls the things that are not as if they were. That is creation. That's the biblical definition of creation, if you wish. God calls the things that are not as if they were. That is, in distinction from anything that we do, God reveals himself as God. We never call the things that are not. The thing must be first before we can call it. We cannot make anything out of nothing. That's impossible. There must, for us, be time to work. God created time. He said, let there be time, and there was time. In the beginning. He created space. There must be space to work. In the beginning, God said, let there be space, and there was space. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created light and the firmament and the land and the sea and the trees, all by the word of his power. He said, let there be, let there be, let there be. And the result was, the effect of that word of God was that it was so. Don't you see, beloved? That therefore, creation is the revelation of God. We must have something to work with. We must have material. We must even have ideas. We must have a form. Otherwise, we can do nothing. We must have time. We must have space. We must have creation to work with. God simply says, speaks his word, and it is so. That's God. So, when you see a tree, beloved, you must see in that tree a revelation that God is. You can never make a tree. Still more, you can see in creation that God is the living God. Also that you cannot do. You can never make life. You can be instrumental to generate, but you can never make life. God makes life. God makes a living tree. God makes a bird. We can possibly make an airplane, but the bird laughs at it. The bird is living. God makes the bird. We can simply make a copy. A copy of what God does, beloved. That is creation. Therefore, and that's not all. We can go a step further and say God does more than that. He quickens the dead. That's something else. That's in Christ Jesus. But, beloved, that answers the question, don't you see? What does it mean that God is almighty? I believe in God the Father Almighty. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? I believe in God the Father Almighty. You say, oh, that means that God could do everything? Beloved, when you say that, that means nothing. That means nothing. In the first place, God cannot do everything. He cannot. He cannot sin. He cannot do foolish things. All these things are impossible for God. We can say, of course, God can do everything he wills. Everything God wills, he can do. That's God's omnipotence. That's true. God can do everything he wills. That's all right. But even that is not very, very, oh, that's something, somewhat cold, isn't it? That's cold. That's not revelation. Revelation is always warm. Let's ask, beloved, let's ask. Let's ask, what can God do? Well, he can do what he wills, yeah, all right. But what will he do? That's another question. What will he do? We know that? We know what he will do? Oh, yes, we know that too. He wills to save his people. We know that. He wills to raise the dead. Is it evident? From the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He wills to raise the dead. He wills to lead his people on into everlasting glory. That's what he will. We know that through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because, and that in the third place, God is the Father of Jesus Christ. He's the Father in himself, the Father of the Son. He's the Father of creation. He is also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, beloved, is a biblical expression. God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, and not that he is the Father of the Son only, but that he is the Father of Jesus Christ and making him the perfect image in his human nature. Let's remember that, beloved. Let us see that. There's God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Son is the Son of the Father in the Trinity. Secondly, there is Jesus Christ. The Son of God, incarnate, the Son become man in his incarnation. That's Bethlehem. In the incarnation, the Son of God became flesh, became man, became a creature, became like us. And in his incarnation, he became like unto us in all things, so that in Bethlehem, the glory of the image of God was bedimmed and covered up. But God, from the year 1 to 33, led that Son in the flesh through all his suffering and through the depths of death into the glory of his resurrection, and exalted him at his right hand. And that Lord Jesus Christ, incarnate, dead, buried, risen from the dead, glorified, exalted at the right hand of God, is the perfect image of the Father in human nature. The Holy Child Jesus, the image of the Father, the image of God, the image of the triune God in human nature, is the Son of God of the flesh, who died, who rose, who is exalted at the right hand of God, and sits in heavenly places forever. God is the Father of Jesus Christ. And now remember, that's, I think, very beautiful in this Lord's Day. The Lord's Day, this ninth Lord's Day, beloved, says that God made all things as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's beautiful. He made all things as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means, beloved, that Jesus Christ was first. God was first the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his eternal counsel, God became the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ first. What does that mean? That means, beloved, that all the rest of creation, all what God created in the beginning, and all what becomes of that creation in time, is through and for and unto Jesus Christ. That's first. Beautiful. God created in the beginning heaven and earth through and for and unto Jesus Christ. He had Jesus Christ in mind when he created all things. He had Jesus Christ in mind when the world fell into sin and death. When God caused the world to fall into sin and death. God did. Had Jesus Christ in mind. Had Jesus Christ in mind, beloved, when he proclaimed the gospel, until that Jesus Christ came in time. Was born in Bethlehem, died on the cross for our sin, was raised on the third day for our justification, was exalted for our salvation in the highest heavens. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of every creature, and Jesus Christ is the purpose and aim of all things under God. God revealed himself as Father in Jesus Christ. And because he revealed himself as Father in Jesus Christ, he revealed himself as Father through Jesus Christ in us. In us. For the sake of Jesus Christ, beloved, he adopts us. Who are sinners. He adopts us. He gives us the right to be called his sons. For the sake of Jesus Christ and through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he makes us his children. He generates us in regeneration. In regeneration, he reveals himself again as Father. Oh, that's beautiful, beloved. God is Father from eternity to eternity of the Son. He is Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is Father when he adopts us as his children and heirs. He is Father when he regenerates us and gives us his life. He is Father forever. When in the last day, he raises us from the dead and gives us glory, regeneration is perfected in the resurrection so that we become the perfect image in creaturely formed of the Father. And then, beloved, you can say, on that basis, that God is Father, Father himself, that God is Father of creation, that God is Father of Jesus Christ, and that he made all things for Jesus Christ. All things in time and in the beginning. He made all things for Jesus Christ. He made all things for Jesus Christ and for us. For the elect. Don't you see? When you can say that God is Father in himself. Father of creation, Father of Jesus Christ, Father of us by adoption, Father of us by regeneration, Father of us by the resurrection into glory. Then you could say, now I know that whatever betides, whatever may happen, whatever may happen in this world, and many things happen, whatever may be my lot, whatever suffering I may pass through, my Father cares. He cares, yes. Father cares. Oh, the way may be dark and dreary. As the Catechism has it, it may be difficult in this valley of tears, which it is. It's a valley of tears. Sooner or later, always, but sooner or later you will find it, the days, that it is a valley of tears. Sooner or later you will find it just exactly that. Because it's a valley of death. We must pass through death. We are passing through death now. In this valley of tears, I know that God is my Father. And that He is able to take care of me. Yes, but more than that. That is able to cause all things in this valley of tears to work unto my salvation. That's enough, isn't it? Isn't that enough, beloved? That's the gospel. Oh, that gospel is so rich. Oh, if you only could really take hold of it. If we only could really say from the heart, I believe in God, the Father in Himself, the Father of Jesus Christ, the Father of creation, my Father. If you could only, 100% lay hold on this blessed gospel, which is the truth, we would never be afraid again. We would never be afraid again. Never. And not in this valley of tears. Not in this valley of death. We'd never worry again. Oh, we would suffer, yes. And when we suffer, we cry, of course. But we would not worry. We'd say, no. Oh, no. In the midst of tears, I laugh. In the midst of pain and groaning, I have the victory. I know that Father cares because He's almighty, and I know He wills to do what is good for me and for my salvation, and because I know He loves me, He's willing as well as able. And therefore, I have nothing to worry, for time and eternity, all is well, because I believe. Shall we say it once together, beloved? Shall we say this? Shall we confess this first article of our confession now once together? I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Thanks, O Lord, for Thy blessed gospel, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the gospel of Thee, our Father in heaven, the Creator of all things, and our Father, for Christ's sake. Amen.